In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. A special mentor of mine in my first career as a teacher would give us, he was a wonderful person, he gave us a lot of encouragement. And of course, one difficult thing for teachers is when students fail. Nobody goes into teaching saying, I can't wait to give a big fat F. And I would feel very bad occasionally, would have students who failed. And one thing that Joe would say would be, he had a plan. You know, we try very hard to keep after those that we're caring about. We called, we invited him for extra help. He wasn't showing up. He had a plan. He was insisting on getting an F. And I was thinking, you know, as a sinful teacher who cares that much, God, who's so merciful, so loving, so caring, he doesn't say, I can't wait to see people put to shame, to fail. And I think people have a lot of difficulty hearing about hell, which we heard about in today's gospel reading. People will say, well, what if God made heaven and hell, how could he be so loving if he made these places, one of paradise and one of torment? But I think the best way to understand heaven and hell is not location that God created, because God gave us this gift of free will. And so heaven and hell are more of a revelation of what our relationship with God is. The very same God whose company some will love is the very same God that some will find torment. When we talk about a plant that receives water and light, a plant that is well, the water and light helps it grow. But a plant that is not well, water can rot it, and sunlight dries it out even more. So we have to think about what's the plan. And the rich man did not have a plan to change. In this gospel, we hear that Lazarus sat outside his gate, and when the rich man died, he was in Hades, and Lazarus was far away in the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man had said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to dip his finger and cool me because I'm in anguish. So he's almost rubbing it in that he had ignored Lazarus in his life, because he knew him by name, and now he's asking him, bossing him around now. He's asking Lazarus to be his servant. He doesn't see the hypocrisy yet that he had an opportunity to see on Lazarus in his life, and now he's asking for Lazarus to be merciful to him. And another example of how heaven and hell are conditions, and this one I've said before, but I don't get tired of it because it's It's a very great example to that wakes me up to think about my relationship with God. And I, because I had Lazarus, I don't care about the rich man. He didn't say, oh, I couldn't wait to see him get what he finally deserved. You know, I don't like movies like that where you can't wait for the villain to get shamed or to get destroyed or in a slow and painful and shameful way. It does spiritual damage. But Lazarus didn't do that. I think he would have wanted to go and relieve the rich man. And that's why he was in heaven. And the story that I share with this is my question in seminary. I said, as my classmate was sitting next to me, I said, this is Stephen, my classmate, his father Stephen. And I said, you know, if I'm in hell, and my friend Steve, how can he enjoy heaven? And the professor said, if you're in hell and Stephen doesn't care, then I would say Stephen is in hell too. And I just can't get over that. I thought that was really a great summary of what our relationship with God is, that heaven is about caring, and it's not about waiting to see somebody get what they deserve. You know, it's in the Psalms, it says, if you should mark iniquities, Lord, who shall stand? But with you there is forgiveness. That's beautiful. You know, we all have things that we don't feel so good about. But we don't have to have a plan to insist on that. Look at what the rich man did after. He calls out to Father Abraham. And this is to show that he had a privileged position, and they believed in the resurrection. They had a lot of instruction. God had worked on them a lot. And so the rich man still calls Father Abraham, enjoying this privilege. And in another place in the gospel, Jesus says, you would be Abraham's children if you did what Abraham did. But this rich man did not do what Abraham did. Abraham was famous for hospitality. This icon of the three angels, who ministered to those three angels? Abraham. He got on his knees. He welcomed them. He showed reverence to them. He made food for them. Lazarus is also at the rich man's gate, and no visit at all. The dogs come and visit Lazarus, in fact, and they come and tend to his wounds. Why does the animal know to take care of the human being, but the human being didn't take care of the human being? So, again, he's calling him Father Abraham, and Father Abraham says, you receive what was good in your life. And he didn't do the right thing with those things. So then the rich man, again, still not moved, he says, send Lazarus, again, bossing Lazarus, sending Lazarus to my father's house. Because if someone is risen from the dead, they'll repent. So he's thinking about other people's repentance. He's still not. And then he said, now Abraham says, son. Okay, so the rich man is not disowned. Again, God has unconditional love. He doesn't disown us, but that makes this situation all the more frustrating. Son. And then he says, I implore you. Or the rich man says to Abraham, is I implore you, erotose. When do you hear this in our services? I don't think you'll ever find it. We hear, iketevo, I entreat you. Parakalumen, we supplicate, you know. The ometha, we hear all these things, all of these expressing our needs, but we never hear ose. It's translated, I beg you. But if I looked, when I looked in the dictionary, it's to make a request on a special footing. So he's still pulling strings like I'm the privileged one. How can I be privileged and not share with others? So the repentance was not there. And I wanted to focus on repentance because hell is not something that God invented. It's something that we invent. And this chasm that we heard in the parable, the chasm that's fixed between heaven and hell, who fixed it? The rich man. Because he refused to change. Stephen, when he was dying, was about to die, he called those who were persecuting him stiff-necked. You're stiff-necked, you can't change your mind. Why do you resist the Holy Spirit? So this is a very important thing to say that I can change, that God accepts me at any time. When the prodigal son was returning home, who finished his journey? The Father. So we're always a work in progress, but if we have our hearts ready to go to God, as long as we're on our way home, God completes that. He welcomes us back. But if we have a plan to insist, I'm not changing, let someone else change, that is going to fix that chasm. What's getting between God and me? What's getting between me and my brothers and sisters? How can I be attentive? There is such a thing as too late, but now that we know, we can, like the prodigal son, start our journey. Just a few days ago, we talked about Saint Longinos. Saint Longinos was the centurion at the foot of the cross. When Jesus died, he said, truly this was the Son of God. Truly this was a righteous man. One of the very murderers of Christ stood at the foot of the cross and said, I was wrong, he was right. Repentance. So we can pray and ask God to soften our hearts, to soften our necks so that we can not resist the Holy Spirit, but make the change that we need to, and that he's always waiting for us. What's the plan? Let's praise God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever and unto ages of ages, and keep our eyes on our brothers and sisters. Amen.